Been in this wonderful series called You Keep Using That Verse, verses that are misused and misunderstood. And it's been a great series. As we've been telling you throughout the series, the last 2 weeks of the series, we're going to cover verses that you all have shared with us. And this is the last week to share those with us. So if you have any verses that are misunderstood or you feel are misused, you can email that verse to info@riveroflife.org, or you can text at the phone number, which will be on the screen in just a second, and that is 319-533-4090. And so I hope to hear more from you. Next week is actually the start of us talking about the verses that you have shared, and we're looking forward to that. And so as we've been doing throughout this series, I want to continue to do today that we're talking about scriptures that are misused and misunderstood. And that often happens because we're really not sure how to use scripture properly. It's either someone told us how to use it or we just came up with it on our own. And sometimes you might have figured out how to use scripture properly without our help. But today I'm going to give you a few things which we've given you throughout the whole series. Just six things that might help you use scripture properly. One is ask God to show you what's true. He gave you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Prayer is a powerful tool in understanding scripture. The second one is read the Bible. Obviously, if you don't read the Bible, you don't know what it says. You may know what someone else says it says, which is called hearsay. But if you read it, then you know yourself what it says. So it's important to be reading the Bible. The next one is read the context of particular verses. Read what's going on before and after that verse. See what that verse is really about based on the context. The next one is don't pretend to understand. This is a huge one. It's important that we have the humility to say, I don't get that. And talk to people about it. Ask questions about the verses. I think church has made it unsafe to ask questions. We've been trying to break that off of this church. It's important that we ask the hard questions and we work through those. The next one is use the Bible to determine our beliefs, not to support them. So based on the Bible, we know what our beliefs should be, not make up our beliefs and then look for verses that fit that. And the last one is this, read for meaning before application. Every verse has an intended purpose and meaning. Look for that first before you start applying it. And so this morning, we're going to dive into Proverbs 22:6. But before we do that, I just had something that I wanted to show you guys as I reflect on my mom. My mom died when I was about 27 years old, and she was 53 at the time, pretty young. And at that time, I carried a lot of mother wounds. I don't know if you know what I mean, but, you know, we can grow up in a home, and our moms can do the best job they can, and maybe some moms don't do a good job. I don't know. My mom, I think, did the best she could, but in the ways that she made mistakes, I had opinions and attitudes about her that I wish she was around so I could speak to her about those and tell her how much I appreciate her. And so I found this online, and I thought it was really powerful, and it's really just talking about strong women. And my mom was a strong woman. And those of you who know my personality know that she had to be strong. So here, I just hope you enjoy this.
My mom.
Mommy.
My mom is amazing. Love that woman.
My mom is...
She came to this country from Guyana, South America.
She was one of those unfailingly nice people.
A saint. Yeah. She's super nice.
She's the nicest person I know.
She is so fierce. She's about like this tall.
She's one of the most hardworking, one of the most beautiful, brilliant people I've ever met in my entire life.
She was very frugal. We used to joke about her saving mayonnaise jars and tinfoil.
I remember many times that she would tell me that we weren't friends and it was okay.
Something that I loved that my mom did is how she made our home a sanctuary.
What are all the Bible things we can say about her?
She's a Martha and a Mary. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Always smiling, always giving of herself. Even when she's frustrated as all get out, she still has such a peaceful spirit about her.
Things that drive me crazy. I feel like this is an easier question to answer.
She thinks she's right. I think I'm right. She's always actually right.
Most common misconception would be that it was just simple to be a mom and to be a stay-at-home mom.
I can't even imagine what it's like to be a mother. And I just flat out always thought that she was trying to get me.
Oh my gosh, some other family members, like I felt like their moms let them do anything. My mom wasn't mean. She just knew what was in my best interest and wanted me to have a better life than what she had.
I did not recognize her strength as I was growing up.
Now as I look back at our family and I realize everything that she invested into me. Leaving her country at 18 years old and coming to the United States, and she worked so hard to provide for our family.
She literally lived her life in a way that allowed her to be a good example and model Christ-likeness.
If I were talking to the kid version of myself, I would say,
love her.
Mothers always remember, and I would definitely tell little kid me to maybe shut up once in a while.
Show her the gratitude and the kindness that she deserves.
That she loves you, but there are gonna be times that she fails because she's human, and that it's okay.
If my mom were here right now,
I would tell her that I loved her and that I appreciate all that she did.
I'd tell her I love her with everything in me.
Thank you for showing me how to work hard. Thank you for showing me how to love. I learned that from the way she loved my siblings, me, my father, her parents.
She should know that she's beautiful and that she should speak up for herself once in a while.
I would tell her thank you. Thank you for all the quiet choices, the decisions you made that nobody knew, the hours you worked, the risks that you took, and the dreams that you had.
Thank you for everything. Yeah.
Well, as promised, we're going to look at Proverbs 22:6 this morning, and in some ways it's going to relate to moms, but it's going to relate to every parent, and I believe as we talk about Proverbs, it's going to relate to every single one of us, whether we're parents or not. And really, in some small way, and I'll show you this as we get close to the end of the message, Proverbs is somewhat a reflection on Solomon's mom and dad. And Solomon was the king of Israel. He was the son of King David, and his mother was Bathsheba. And we'll maybe talk about that here in a little bit. But he was the one that you might know asked God for wisdom and became, to this day, known as probably one of the wisest men that ever existed. And it wasn't that he just prayed for wisdom and it was given to him. His heart, God gave him a heart to search it out, to pursue wisdom. And he speaks of wisdom as a person throughout this book. And the verse we're looking at this morning is one particular verse that I think most of us know. And it's, again, Proverbs 22:6, and it says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I don't know about you, but you know, as a man, I kind of look for ABCs. I look for ingredients to fix things, to make things right, to get, for that matter, it's probably one of the biggest irritants to my wife is she'll say something to me and then I'll tell her how to fix it. And she says, I wasn't looking for your opinion on it. And I just wanted to share with you, you know. So it's, maybe that's a man thing. I don't know if it's just personality, but it does seem to be more indicative of men that they want to fix it. So this verse is wonderful. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Almost as if our kids can be a science experiment. And really what makes science science is when they can prove something scientifically, it means it's duplicatable. I don't know if you know that. It means they can reproduce the same outcome by doing certain things. And those of you who have had more than one kid, if you have one kid, it works great. But if you have more than one kid, it's like God seems to give you something on purpose to help you know that kids are not a science experiment. And there are no ABCs for each and every kid. And for that matter, even with one kid, it sometimes becomes obvious that there aren't certain ways. And so what I'm leading to is probably the biggest misuse of this verse and the biggest, largest misunderstanding of this verse is so often this verse, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, well, then they will not depart from it. It sounds like a promise, but it's not a promise. That's the first point. This verse is not a promise. It is not a guarantee. Now, we're going to talk about the nature of the book of Proverbs here in a little bit, but you've heard the verse, spare the rod and spoil the child. How many have heard that? Have you heard that? Well, I want to inform you this morning that's not a Bible verse. As a matter of fact, it actually comes, this is really interesting, it actually comes from a poem written by Samuel Butler in the 17th century. That's where that comes from. The closest thing you can find in Proverbs, which is what most people think that's from, is this. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children, and those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Now, I think you all would agree that if someone doesn't discipline their child, it doesn't mean they actually hate them. And I'm saying that to you to say that I think you can be that person. I think most people who refuse to discipline and don't care what their kids do, as a matter of fact, I worked with youth for years, and I worked with what they called BD kids, which is behavior disorder. I'm not even sure if they still use that acronym or that statement anymore. And so I worked in a particular class with all BD kids, and I love these kids, and I became very close to these kids. And most of the kids in there you would find, not all of them, but most of them came from homes that seemed to not care about the kids. They didn't have any boundaries. The parents didn't care where they were, when they came in, and when they went out. And it was amazing the kind of insecurities that fall in the heart of a child who has all the freedoms they want. And every child, as you know, wants freedoms. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait till I could be free of my parents. And I think most of us feel the same way when we were kids. But yet, in that class, I learned something about human nature and this dynamic. It's that there is something about if you teach someone discipline by discipline, then they will most likely become a disciplined person. Are you following me? It's no guarantee. I'm not saying that every person, because they are disciplined properly, and we're not talking about abuse. Let's get that out of our heads. Sometimes we put the word discipline in the same box as abuse, and it's not. Corporal punishment, when used appropriately, can train a child. Or just plain discipline, when you put boundaries around your kids, it can train a child. And a lot of people, most people who grow up in that kind of structure, then that structure then teaches them and it helps them to be a better person. And so as a general rule, it's true that if you discipline your child, they will grow up to be a disciplined person. Well, it's the same with this verse. This verse is not a promise. It simply says, if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's not saying it's a promise, and that's the nature of Proverbs here. I know it sounds like a promise. We're going to get to that in a second. It's like the rest of Proverbs. It makes a statement, and you're going to see in a little bit, they're even called riddles in the first seven verses of Proverbs. That's because they aren't promises, but they're describing what's the wisest course of action, what's best practices. And what I love about Proverbs is that it hits on everything from relationships to sex to business to family. It's amazing how it hits every sector of your life and gives you these little nuggets of stuff you can grab a hold of. The funny thing is, even when we talked about a little bit ago, when I shared the six things we should do to understand Scripture, Proverbs somewhat doesn't apply to all those rules, because here, there is no context. There's these nuggets that show up here and there, and there's short portions of the book of Proverbs that does have a context where it's building to something, but most of it are these little nuggets of wisdom that you have to just take by itself and maybe look elsewhere in the Bible to gain wisdom on it. The most important thing to do is do as Solomon did. Ask God for true godly wisdom and then dive into the book. And know that everything that sounds like a promise isn't necessarily a promise here. And so this is one of those. And as I say that, as we talk about this, I want to hit on it just a little bit, because this rubs against some of the theology in the church. And some theology that would disagree with what I'm going to say, and then much theology that would agree. And I want to start with the book of Joshua. Joshua was making a statement to the nation of Israel. And this is after Israel has walked with God, has seen him show up in a cloud by day and fire by night. They had seen incredible miracle after miracle after miracle. God had put them out there and then saved them, put them out there and saved them, and time and time again. And while maybe our lives, those of you who know Jesus and have walked with him for a while, we maybe haven't had that dramatic, the waters parting and frogs coming out of the stream across our street, which I hope never happens. You know, those, we've never had those kind of things. We've had those experiences with God where it's like people can say, well, throw out all kinds of statements about God, but you in your heart and mind, God has proven himself to you to the degree you're like, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. At this point, God has proven himself to me. Well, he's talking to the nation who have gone through this for years and years and years. This is 50 plus years of history he unpacks to them in a really brief time in chapter 24 of Joshua. And then he says this to them, choose today whom you will serve. Why did he say that? Because even when God shows up, people will choose whether to follow him or not. You may say, well, how is that? Well, it's simply because Jesus said it's going to be that way. He came to lay his life down for the sins of the whole world, but not all will follow him. He will show himself through creation. As a matter of fact, we see that in the Bible. It's like, and I'll jump to that here in Romans a little in a second. In Proverbs 19:18, it says, discipline your child while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Aren't you glad that's not a promise? Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I failed the discipline while there was hope. And, you know, to think about, what does that mean? I think that's discipline a child while they're willing to receive from you, while there's hope. You see, a child will grow up in your home and still will be a child by our standards, as you moms know, and they will not see themselves as your child anymore. They will see themselves independent of you, even though they're fully dependent on you. Come on, moms. You know what I'm talking about. Those are the silent moments. You know, unfortunately, dads aren't as silent. And I just turned out and made enemies. But so we know it's wisdom. It's saying, you know, discipline a child while there is hope so that their lives will be disciplined and they will engage. I just heard this morning, I just want to say this. How many guys in here are part of a fraternity in college? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm free to say this. I found out this morning that fraternities have chefs. That may not mean much to you, but that means that these guys are going to college where they're going to be prepared for life, and they go into a house where someone cooks for them and someone cleans for them Why do you think wives are having such a hard time? Come on, that's not real life. That's ridiculous. I just found that out this morning. I know someone that's a chef at a fraternity. I was like, for real? Discipline your child while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin his lives. Obviously, that's not always true. But there's wisdom in that. Just like Proverbs 22:6. There's wisdom in it. The reality is, people will choose. The verse that I mentioned in Romans a second ago is this from Romans 1:20. And I love this verse because it answers that huge question that can evolve in my mind about people who never hear the name of Jesus. You all, if you're a believer at all, you've probably asked that question. When we as believers, we say this all the time, if you don't know Jesus, you won't go to heaven. Well, how about the natives in Uganda, not Uganda, in New Guinea who won't know the name of Jesus? Romans says this, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. What he's saying is, God is saying this, I will reveal myself to every person on the planet. I have revealed myself to every person that has lived. But they then will have a day where they will have to be confronted with their own opinions of choose today whom you will serve. And I'm here to tell you, parents, it doesn't matter whether you are perfect in being parents, which none of us are. Your child one day will make a choice. They will make a choice, and it will be theirs. It doesn't matter how well you do it. They will make a choice. The beautiful thing is Romans 1:20 says, even if you did a lousy job, let's say you're a mom here today, and you're reflecting, and you're thinking, I didn't really talk to my kids about Jesus. I didn't tell them about the Lord. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ is that he didn't come to trap us in a place of misery. He came to give us hope. And so what I'm trying to say is, he won't be in full pursuit of your kids. If you're here this morning and your kids aren't living for the Lord and you feel like you failed them as a mother, then let me tell you what you have right now before you. You have the same power that Solomon has to turn to God and say, God, I need wisdom. Help me know how to love my kids. And I'm telling you, God will pursue your kids in ways you never imagined. It doesn't mean they will choose him, but he will be in full pursuit of them, and your prayers will launch angels, and it'll launch people into their lives, and there will be more seeds planted than you ever could have planted. I'm not giving parents an excuse to keep their mouth shut about Jesus, because I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but I am trying to say, if you're here and you're feeling hopeless because of how you feel like you failed as a mom, get over that, because God is in full pursuit of your kids. That's amazing. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from that. It's not a promise. This is general wisdom. It's general truth. It's saying if you pour into your kids the truth about Jesus while the rest of the world today, and especially in our culture today, is pouring into the truth about everything else, if you pour that into them, they will be equipped to make a decision. That's what it's saying. And it's saying it's more likely if you believe it's the truth, you will deliver the truth to them. You see, if you don't believe it's the truth, then why would you train up a child in that way? Are you going to train up your child in something that's not true? I don't think that's any of our hearts. But if you are a son and a daughter of the living God, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, if we're talking here all the time about telling our neighbor, why would we not be telling our kids? And if you do, they will be well equipped to make a choice. My next point is this, is Proverbs 22:6 is about godly character and conduct. I I love this book, and just this week being forced to relook at it and re-examine it and study it and reflect on it. It just boggles my mind, the rich stuff that's in there, stuff I understand and stuff I have yet to understand. I read stuff this week, I'm like, You know, it's like you get through Proverbs and you dig for it and you start to realize I really do need God's help to read this book. And there isn't context that tells me what everything means. So I gotta do what actually Proverbs says. It says, hunger for her, referring to wisdom. Pursue her with all your heart, referring to wisdom. The Proverbs 22:6 is about godly character and not conduct. Now, I'm going to say this with a certain level of humility because there are some people that teach that this verse is about the bent of our child, the way they should go, meaning that if you see within them the potential to be the president, then you should train them on being the president. I'm going to tell you right now, every new parent sees a child and they're going to be president one day. You will be deceived on what you think their bent is. You will not know it for sure. You will see strengths and weaknesses, and hopefully you'll be able to capitalize on those. And by the way, I think it's wisdom to reinforce those strengths and weaknesses. I think it's important that if you see something creative in them, and here's something that's really out of the box that I think most parents, even parents who are artists, and I know some artists, and I love art, and so I've through my life, I've learned a little bit about this. Even parents who are artists will have kids, it'll come up and show creativity, and they'll encourage it when they're 3, and they're 4, and they're 5, and they're 6, all the way up till their teen years, and all of a sudden, when it comes time for them to pick a job, they're like, that's not a real job. Or musicians. You know, you want to be a what? Almost everything in the creative world is like that. My point is this, that if they have creativity, cultivate that. It's wisdom. Train up a child. I'm using it in the context I don't think it means, but I think this is an application of this verse. But if we don't get the first meaning, then the application becomes the rule and we miss the richness of this verse. You can't apply this verse to the actual gifts and talents of your child. But what good are gifts and talents if when they die, they don't go to heaven? They're useless, aren't they? They bear no fruit in someone's life. This verse is train up a child in the way they should go. That word train in the Hebrew is actually dedicate. It's really interesting. It's much stronger than almost every verse. I looked it up in several versions and none of them grab a hold of dedicate, but yes, that's the verse. And you hear the passion of that. It's like when you dedicate a child, you dedicate it to something, not about something. So when it says dedicate a child in the way he should go, you're dedicating that child to God. If you're a parent that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for the sins of the world and he rose again so they can have life after, for whoever believes in him then will have life ever after, then bam, you've got it, the way he should go. It doesn't matter whether you're the best artist in the world or whether you're a garbage collector or whether you're a silly pastor or whether you're a doctor. It doesn't really matter. The end product is, what is real success in this life if it doesn't introduce you to your Creator? So we dedicate our child in the way they should go. We become impassioned about that. Again, I'm trying to say that the application of really cultivating their strengths and weaknesses is actually just plain wisdom, isn't it? Come on, I know you all agree with me. None of you think that's silly. Of course that makes total sense. But what's happened is we put application before the meaning here, and we're missing the power of this verse. We dedicate this child unto the Lord. And the crazy thing is, I love this... I love the first seven verses of Proverbs, it says this, and this is actually where Solomon's putting down the purpose for this book. He says their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined lives and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. It's not helping them to become the most successful businessman or mom or dad. It's to help them become right, just, and fair in those things they do. And many of the verses just says in righteousness, which is godly character. And it goes on to say, and these proverbs will give insight to the simple. That's me. They help me a lot. Knowledge and discerning to the young and youth. I hope you're looking at Proverbs. And let the wise listen to the Proverbs and become even wiser. Did you hear that? If you consider yourself wise, here's a book to take you up a notch. And let those who understand receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Right there, Solomon's saying, I know that some of these things that are come across abstract, they come across abstract because God gave them to me. And since it was God who's above us, he said it in such a way that it's going to require us to really dig at him. Because his ways are bigger than our ways. And we've got to stop being so arrogant and thinking, if I can't figure this out according to the Hebrew or the Greek. And that's how we get sometimes. We go, well, I'm going to figure out exactly what this means. No, ask God first. And let him lead you through those intellectual approaches of Scripture, which are critical in the life of a believer. Then he goes on to say, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Did you see that? He just put the whole book in context. This is about our conduct according to God's design. This is about how we live according to God's design. Proverbs is rich, and there's all kinds of applications which you can utilize it to actually help people grow in who they are and see who they are. But ultimately, it's about being and living like godly people in every area of our lives. I believe train up a child in the way he should go is about the way, the truth, and the life. I believe it's about Jesus as the Son of God. I believe it's about the Word, which we call the Bible. I believe it's about the rule and reason for life, which is spelled out in God's Word. That's what Proverbs is about. It's rich, and it offers us wisdom in ways we would never get without the book. And I want to speak just really briefly to those of us that sometimes get trapped in this idea that I don't want to brainwash my child. And I remember working through that in my own mind with my son and my daughter and thinking, you know, I really want them to make a choice. I think it's kind of interesting that when we as parents think they can't make a choice or will never grow up to make a choice, then we really don't need to teach them anything. Our kids are much smarter than we give them credit for. I'm glad I learned that, and I'm glad I see that now with my grandkids. They're much smarter than we give them credit for. They can make a choice, and they will make a choice. But in Deuteronomy 6, it says, repeat them again and again to your children. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the Word of God. And he says, talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you're out getting up. And then that's repeated in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. And then early on in Deuteronomy, it says in chapter 4:9, it says, but watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourselves have seen. He's talking about your story. You know, how much more when we're talking about the blessed strategy that you see out in the foyer on the wall, and we talk about share your story after you've already started with prayer, you've listened to people, you've gotten together with them, maybe to eat or something like that, you've served them, and now you share your story. It's like, here it is right here. You have a story as a parent. You can share this with your children of how you found your way back to God. Now, I want to make something really clear. If at any time you make your child feel like, or I'm going to make this universal. If you make anyone feel like they're less loved because they don't believe you the way you believe, you are in sin. Church, I love you too much not to just go right at it. I'm tired of hearing Christians, and I don't think it's majority, it's just the ones that get the press. But I'm tired of hearing them treat people like they're less loved because they don't believe like we do, and that's not what God's word says. That is a perversion of God's word. And it's a lie from the pit. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 4:9 about our story. But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourselves have seen. Do not let these memories escape your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. This is a command. Deuteronomy 6 is a command. They're telling us how we should live in a fashion that we should do every day. Now, you could attach this to Proverbs 22:6. It doesn't make 22:6 a command. 22:6 is general wisdom. It's generally true. If you pour the truth of Christ into your kids, they will be best equipped to choose who they will serve. And most likely they will serve Christ because we know, because Christ has proven himself to us, that he will emerge above all the other options as the one that they don't have to strive to accomplish to get to heaven. God made a way for them without any striving. But we have to give it to them. We have to share our story with them. How will they hear without a preacher? It's the same with our kids. So what I'm trying to say is that I've probably said it many times, and I don't want to wear it out, but ultimately, Proverbs 22:6 is about conduct. It's about godly character. That's what it's about. It's not a promise. It's not definite that your kids are going to follow Jesus when they leave home. And we are commanded to teach our kids the truths of Scripture. We are commanded. That is a command. And always remember this, and this is critical for believers today. Don't you see how wonderful, kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you, with me, with you? Have you seen that? Have you noticed how tolerant and patient and kind he is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that it's the kindness, it is his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? Isn't that powerful? That just reinforces this idea that treating people bad is not going to turn them to God. It's all I'm trying to say. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And with our kids, it's so much so. If they ever feel like they're less loved because they don't pray enough, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with you. And you need healing from God. I have to tell you something, just side note. I have not removed all the consequences from my son's life. But I made it very clear in some of those consequences, which were really hard for him, that I would walk through it with him. I will not take them away. One of my point is he knew I loved him through the process. But I loved him enough to let the consequences train him up in the way he should go. Does that make sense? And my last point this morning is this. This book of Proverbs is a parent's loving counsel. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right." Proverbs may have been written by Solomon, but it's as if it was penned by God. And it gives us these incredible nuggets of wisdom. And if you look at it and you read through it, you're going to see in verses, in chapters 1 through 7, they all start with the same thing. My child, my children. All of them. Every verse starts with my child, my children. This loving heart. I can't imagine as Solomon, and just reflect with me for a second. Solomon was the son of King David, as I said in the beginning. His mom was Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the woman that David took for his wife and even killed her husband. It was a national disgrace that David repented on her and showed the real character of God. I mean, when I mean repented, not like we repent today. Oh, everything's fine now. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I do. No, he repented. He broke before the nation and he suffered for it. And Solomon probably knew this story. Is it possible that he was writing this? He was thinking of his mom, Bathsheba, and the history. And God speaking wisdom to him. I mean, he says constantly, my children. And then in Proverbs 1:8, he says, a father's exhortation, this is him saying, this is a father's exhortation to you. Acquire wisdom, my child. Listen to your father when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. Now, you may think he's talking to your kids. He's talking to you. I see all the moms that have adult kids going, yeah, baby. But no, he's talking to you. I'm not saying everything they said. If they steer you towards ungodly things, you should not do it. It's time to not do it. Doesn't mean you should disrespect them. You just don't do it. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about moms that have failed and been trapped in things that caused them to do things that were so wrong to a child. I'm talking about those things where a mom says something like this, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You know how many times I heard that my whole life? I thought that was a Bible verse. That was a nugget of wisdom, which should teach me to shut my mouth sometimes when all I have is a critical spirit inside of me. And that's wisdom. I love this about the book of Proverbs. It starts with this saying about listen to your fathers and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Do you know what the last two verses are in Proverbs? The last two verses, listen to this. It says, charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Ladies, this verse is about wisdom, but it's also can be applied to you. Know this. I say to every woman out there that has feared the Lord, has raised their kids with the same fear that all of us parents have, not knowing we went into it, not knowing exactly what to do, our first day home from the hospital with the child, and you're scared to death. You're confused. You're like, where's the book? Is it tattooed on their butt? Let me turn them over and see. No, it's not there. No instructions. You get what I'm saying? Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Moms, every one of you who love your children, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is speaking with a father's heart to all of us in the book of Proverbs. My next steps, what do we do with this message? Well, the first one is I will read through the book of Proverbs and ask God for more wisdom in how I conduct my life. If you want godly wisdom, it's in the book of Proverbs. Don't see everything as a promise. Don't tie it down or hold anyone else to it. Let it teach you what wisdom is and know that it's God speaking to you. Will you take the time to read the book? I encourage you to. It's only 31 chapters. The next one is this. And again, I'm saying this with humility because I know all of us had a different experience with their moms. I know that. Maybe some of them weren't so pretty. And for those of you who are out there today, I don't know what to say, but God is passionately in love with you. And he's here to heal you. But for most of us, and I think I can speak for most of us, connect with your mother this week and thank her for the little things. I mean it. Even if she's here with you today, during the week, start pondering the little things she did. I love that video I started with, the silent things, the things you never said. Moms are very cunning. Connect with your mom this week. Just thank her. It might bring healing to you, and it might bring healing to her. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you are an amazing God, that this salvation we talk about is more real than we even know. That God, this book of Proverbs gives us nuggets of wisdom about every facet of life. God, may you help us to become wise in your truths. May you help us to become wise in how we deliver the gospel to the world around us. And may you help us be wise in how we parent our children. I pray this in the mighty name, your name. Amen. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, we have prayer teams down here. You know, through that message, I shared the gospel. I told you that Jesus Christ came and died, gave his life to pay the price for your sins. So you don't have to do anything to get into heaven. You don't have to become a better person, yet he wants you to become a better person. You don't have to do religious things, yet he may invite you into some religious practices that will be good for you. But you can come to him now in faith and become a child of God. Just come up and talk to our prayer teams up here. They'd love to talk to you. And if you need prayer for healing or anything, come on up. If you're not connected here at River of Life, I encourage you to stop over and make Marcus buy you lunch. You and your family. Now, if you're not connected here, just stop over and see Marcus, and he'll tell you about life groups and help you know how you can get connected here at River of Life. This morning, if you leave with anything on your heart this morning, I want you to leave with this. God is desperately in love with you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Happy Mother's Day, all you moms. Don't forget your flowers and candies as you're going out.